a successful partnership from the shared goal of helping military personnel transition to civilian life is an admirable accomplishment. Tucson Electric Power and Davis-Monthan Air Force Base are working together to offer an innovative internship program and to accomplish this goal. Stay with me to learn about employing our veterans and Arizona Roadmap. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and we're down to earth. Thank you for being a part of our world. And as always, at the top of each show, we give a shout out to the sponsor of the show and a valued partner of Mrs. Green for this show and our platform, Tucson Electric Power. TEP provides the energy behind Tucson's economy. They deliver safe, reliable power to more than 417,000 customers. And I'm laughing because that is a big job in the Tucson metropolitan area. They are also a local leader in community service, volunteerism, and economic development efforts, as anyone in Tucson will attest to. Now, please join me in welcoming Jolie Bracamonte, TEP Talent Acquisition Specialist. Jolie, I'm really excited about this show, and we talked a little bit off air, and I told you why. I'm sure that will come through in the show, but our vets are just, it's a very complicated and vital issue to what we do with them and how we help them come back because of what they do for us. So I can't wait to jump into the questions. And I had like a trifecta question, which let's start sequentially. I'd like to know how you came to be a talent acquisition specialist and what your background was, and then really what that role is at TEP, and then tell us, I really want to know a lot about the ins and outs of this program. So it's all about you now. Take the time. I've done the intro, and then I'll have more questions.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here and represent our company and our work we're doing with our military veterans. I am a talent acquisition specialist for Tucson Electric Power. I've been with the company for a little over 3 years. I relocated for this position. I was actually working for the Department of Defense.
Wow.
At Scott Air Force Base in Illinois.
Wow.
I worked for the reserve unit at the time, and I worked for about 8 years all over the United States in many different areas within HR.
So you have a background in working with the military.
Correct.
So that's a big plus.
Yeah.
Okay, so then what? And you moved to Tucson. That's a big plus, especially from Illinois, cold all winter, to Tucson, hot all year. So it was a big move.
It was a big move. I wanted to be closer to family, but I also wanted to explore other areas other than DOD. I was introduced to the utilities. I didn't know what I was getting into, but it's an exciting adventure. Like I mentioned, I am the talent acquisition specialist, and not many people understand what that means. But I am one of the unique individuals that loves getting up and going to work every day. I absolutely love my job. What a talent acquisition specialist does, about 50% of my work is recruiting for our unclassified positions for Tucson Electric Power. And the other half is workforce planning. What that means is working with our organizations and working with the community, identifying workforce gaps and where we can help with pipeline planning.
And that's a big thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll talk about it later in the show, but one of my questions later, and I would love to hear more about the program first, is there is such a severe labor shortage in Tucson. There was an article in the paper this week about how it's really limiting our growth because of certain skills that they just can't fill. The employers just can't fill. And hopefully there are going to be some changes in Tucson to help educate our population to fill those jobs. So tell us about the program with Davis-Monthan and how it actually works.
Okay. So we partnered with Davis-Monthan about a year and a half ago, maybe a little bit more. This program that Davis-Monthan introduced to us was an established program. It's called Career Skills. This is a branch off the SkillBridge program. This is just a different variation, and it's an Air Force program. What the program does is it's during the last 180 days of military members being on active duty service. They are allowed to participate in internships within organizations within the community. The internships provide an opportunity for military members to take a chance at what it's like to get into the civilian workforce. surprisingly, this is the scariest time and the hardest time throughout the military career is the transition process.
It doesn't surprise me at all because of what the significant changes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is not as scary as going on to the battlefield. I understand that. But in terms of your life, I get it. It's a mm-hmm. big step, especially if you've been in the military for any period of time, because that's a whole culture in and of itself. So you're changing how you show up in the world every day.
Absolutely. And it's, I mean, even changing from the basics of not having a conversation based on all acronyms, showing right. up in a military uniform right. every day,
right, right.
Being told what to do, that are the small changes. This is a time in the military career where individuals are asked, what do you want to do? And they get to make those decisions. Surprisingly, military their careers are chosen at an early age, usually when they enter the Air Force, based on an ASVAB score. So they don't necessarily get to choose what they like to do. And this is an exciting time because they get to pick what they want to do and what they're engaged in, what they're passionate about.
And fortunately, I know a lot about Davis-Monthan and the military and all of the R&I they do, the R&D, the research and development, I mean. And so there's probably exposure to a lot of different skill sets. And I'm curious about, like, the people that are eligible. I would assume, but one should never assume, especially when we're doing a broadcast, that you have requirements and skill sets that you need. So you're looking and working with Davis-Monthan to match your needs with people that might be interested in them. Is that an oversimplification, or is that kind of the gist of it?
So the beauty of the program is that the program, it is a win-win for both the companies and for the military members. The program is designed to benefit the military members. We really take a look at what skills that they are coming out and what they would like to do. We take it their transferable skills that they have learned from the military, leadership, teamwork. They have amazing adversity and diversity. We take those skills and bring them into our organization and find a fit for them.
Even reliability, like coming to work every day. Everybody I talk to says things like, maybe they say it about the millennials, maybe they don't, but they say, I can't get someone to come to work 5 days a week on time. So the military personnel are not that.
No, they're absolutely dedicated. They have high level integrity. I mean, we can say so much about the military veterans and what they bring to our organization. The thing that we have learned through this program is they've been able to fill some of our hardest to fill positions and those critical gaps.
Really?
With little to no training. Yes.
Can you give an example?
Absolutely. So some of our biggest positions that they've been able to fill, our highest numbers, have been in IT, cybersecurity, program management,
oh my goodness,
engineering. The list goes on and on.
Yeah. So those are, and they are well-paying jobs,
absolutely,
many of them. So mm-hmm. they're coming out at a way that they can actually afford to support themselves and their families. Mm-hmm. So that's amazing. Do they have to get, like, just suppose they have a basic skill set. In some cases, do you help provide additional training to focus on the particular area where you're looking to place them? Does that make sense?
Yeah, depending on the position and depending on the individual, we have, well, I'll use program management, for example. Some of the interns that come into the organization may not have the certification, but they absolutely have the skill set of program management. Most of these individuals have, at times, had to pick up a squadron or, to our terms, a department and move them across to deploy locations, and they're doing the logistics. They have this skill set, and that is a direct translation. So in that circumstance, we provide the program. We partner them with a program manager. We provide the trainings. We give them skills. We also work with resources around our community to help help pay for those certifications. So there's programs, Boots to PM, there's Pima County One Stop, different programs that help us fund those to make sure that they get the certifications and the trainings that they need to make them successful in their
Boots
workforce.
Boots to program manager, I love it. It's clever, it's catchy, and I love it. I would want to be in that kind of program. Other than the demand for qualified and skilled employees, was there any other reason why TEP got interested? I mean, they I say a lot of nice things about them on the show, and it's very heartfelt because I think they reach out in ways that are not typical of big utility mm-hmm. companies. And this is, to me, another proof positive about that. So why are they interested in veterans? Who came knocking on whose door?
We owe a tremendous debt to our veterans. They take the oath to serve our country. They give their lives day in and day out to give us a peaceful life in the American dream that we have. They're vital members of our community, but one thing I think we recognize is that they're a critical part of our talent pipeline. We mentioned before the transferable skills that they come in walking to our company, and then they can fill these immediate shortages with little to no training. And then the bonuses that they bring they demonstrate leadership and teamwork, efficiency and critical thinking skills. But most importantly, I think the biggest thing that we have found is that they provide strength and a diversity. They've learned to work side by side with individuals, regardless of race and gender and religion and economic status. They've proven that they're resilient in mission critical situations, demanding endurance and stamina and flexibility. It's a no-brainer why we need more veterans in our workforce. And it's the partnerships that we created with Davis Mothen and the local community resources.
So, you know, I want to stand up and do the happy dance because it's such a respectful place from which to come that you're describing it. They are sought after on your part, not just because of their military service, but because of their skills and all those other things that you mentioned. It's a very important and critical component to me. It's not like, oh, these poor vets. It's like, oh, please come work for us. I mean, it's a very different mindset. So there are thousands and thousands of people coming out of the military on a regular basis. Have you been able to observe, are there particular challenges as they go into the workforce? Because you said they came from this structured being told what to do. Are there other challenges that you at least address or help mm-hmm. mitigate as they assimilate into a utility company culture?
So I think military veterans face many challenges throughout their career, whether it's, you know, not making a birthday or being away for holidays. They face many, many challenges throughout their career on a day-to-day basis. I think the hardest part for a military veteran, like we mentioned, is a transition process.
Right. That's the whole switching cultures. Yeah.
It's okay. Switching cultures. Yeah. It's learning what you're used to. They've been told many times, this is how we do it. This is a very procedures. It's different on the outside, civilian workforce. So the transition has been the hardest part.
So I always hope we get thousands of listeners to shows like this because it educates people like me about really good things that are going on, and we need lots of good news, if you ask me. And this is a really good news story that works. What about other employers? Is this, when you talk, it's called, is it called Skillforce?
Career Skills.
Career Military, Skills. Yes. Okay. Are they working with other employers in Tucson? Because with the shortage of employees, plus the need for veterans to find a job, are there other people, other companies stepping up to participate? And do you have any interaction with them at all?
Yes, absolutely. So,
are you fighting for employees?
We, like I mentioned, we work with Davis Mothen. There are many companies that are working to hire veterans, and they're recognizing the skills that we are also recognizing at the same time. We have a partnership with Arizona Coalition for Military Families.
Wonderful.
Yes, they're an advocate for military veterans and their families. They help create the bridge between between the military and the organizations within the communities. They provide training, resource navigator training, for the organizations and the civilian workforce to help recruiters and supervisors, all parts of the organization, understand the military culture. On a recruiting aspect, they also help train on what to recognize in a military resume and pull out those transferable skills that sometimes go unrecognized.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So there's a lot of support for that. How does it actually work? When you said 180 days prior to their discharge, do they work like at TEP during, like, are they still in the military? Do they have to wear their uniform? Tell me how it actually works. I'm always curious about the smaller details too, because it's just, what I like about that is that it gives both of you a chance to see how it feels, how it fits, or maybe see something else that might be a better fit. So do they actually come to work for 180 days at TEP?
It sounds too good to be true, right?
Yes, it does. And they're still being paid?
So the program is designed, obviously, to help with the transition process. So it is during the last 180 days of active duty military service. They come to our organization anywhere between 90 and the 180 days, depending on their approval from their commander and their leadership within the base. Sometimes we have individuals that can come on Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule. We're very flexible, and we understand that this is a time where they also have to do all of their requirements to separate from the military. A relationship that we have with open communication, but they sometimes they do come for the full 180 days, and then sometimes we get them for the 90.
I would love to interview one of them someday. Let's put that out there. Okay,
absolutely.
I'm saying it right on the air, so let's put Francisco on the spot.
But the exciting thing is that these individuals, these veterans, are not only coming from Davis-Monthan.
I was going to ask you that.
Right.
I was, so thank you. Anticipating.
Yes, so we have individuals. We have Fort Huachuca is one of our that we're starting to get more and more participation. I have two individuals from two separate bases in Alabama. One of the individuals is a pilot, and he transferred into a program manager position. The other individual is on our IT, and he's doing network systems. I have an individual from the Marines, and he came from one of the bases in California to intern within our organization.
Now, is that all done through the statewide programs helping to connect, or is there a database, like a website where you can go to do searches? How do you find the person from Alabama, and how do they find you?
So
technology
is amazing.
Answer your own question.
So the Air Force has done an incredible job at helping this transition and making this program successful. They have done everything, talking to leadership and helping us go over those barriers that we had early in the process. We work with the Base Education Center, and we provide job descriptions on programs that we are interested in filling with the military veteran for this internship. The military members have a portal, kind of like a company intranet.
Yes,
that
yes.
They can go on and see available positions out there. And also the work with the Arizona Coalition for Military Families. They have developed a portal, a webpage, that provide opportunities, not just at TEP. We hope to grow this program not just specifically for us, but for all of our communities nationwide.
Gosh, I like having shows like this that make me smile, and you're smiling, and it's a feel-good program, because there is a lot of good going out there, and it's frequently a criticism of mine with mainstream media. Tell this story. You should have an update on all the major stations once a week about this person, and you can tell that person who's a pilot that there is a national pilot shortage, and he might want to take a look at that, because that's another area where nurses and pilots and teachers, I mean, you just look around, and there's something a little bit broken here. What about, I'm out in the community a lot, as we talked about, and I'm hearing it from so many sectors, not just, I mean, the building sector, big time, in terms of skilled labor, for higher level executive positions. Tucson finally has a labor shortage. We used to have people leaving. Mm-hmm. Now we're in a position, which I think is a good position to be in, that we want to bring people in. There are good jobs here, and we want our graduates to stay. How big a problem is it? You are in HR. Is it something that's a national crisis? Are you seeing, because I have been very much focused on what happens here, being so involved in local first and local issues, and I realize how vulnerable we are because of the lack of skilled individuals for employment. What's your sense? You came from Illinois, and you are in the HR field. Where are we?
I think it's national. I can speak to Tucson specifically. There is a shortage, and we are talking, like you mentioned, everything from welders to
electricians, to plumbers, to framers.
It's a lost trade. I think as a community as a whole, we're working on helping that helping that process and helping train our individuals, whether they be students or military veterans.
Real workforce development.
We partnered with Pima Community College, Southwest Gas, working on a program that helps teach utility technology. The program is now the individuals can go through the classes. Once they are done with those classes, they come out with certifications that give them a broad base on what they can apply for jobs within TEP, Southwest Gas, Tucson Water. So we're doing a really good job as a community whole together on working on identifying those areas where we're lacking and ways to help build programs to make individuals ready to enter the workforce with those skills already.
I feel hopeful about that too. I heard a member from the Board of Governors from Pima College talk about their efforts. You were mentioned Tucson Water, Southwest Gas. They were mentioned JTED, big part of this. Mm-hmm. So people investing in Tucson and in downtown and Rio Nuevo and all of those things, we're all getting the message that an employable, highly skilled or qualified workforce in the trade is essential to the sustainability of this city. And I think that's really great. And I'd love to hear who you said. I mean, I interviewed Tim Tamir from the head of the city of Tucson Water Department last week, and he talked about three pilot programs. And it's interesting what you referenced. The three pilot programs, two of the three, are highly innovative technology programs. Mm-hmm. It's not about storing water. It's about the technology of measuring it and quantifying it and a very complex set of issues that places around the world are invested in to help them with managing our water supply. Mm-hmm. And what more do we need in this town to be managed than water and electricity? Everybody wants them.
We're not
everybody
an ocean
needs
property,
them. No, we are not an ocean, and you can't drink the ocean. So it's like it's two big jobs and heavy lifts, if you ask me. What are some of the biggest challenges in terms of getting us ready, of getting the workforce ready? And I think the answer to can military people help fill that gap? I think yes, but do we need to start taking a look at our basic, you know, I don't want to get into it too much, but we have to prepare kids in first grade and get them through high school. They don't have to go to college. Trades are going to be some of the highest paying jobs, if you ask me, because we're always going to need an electrician. So what do you think needs to be done in terms of identifying some of these gaps? Because if it is a national crisis, everybody's going to be recruiting for those same skill sets. I mean, somebody told me that a reason why we lost a lot of the skilled laborers is because they went to Houston. Yeah, literally in droves after the hurricane, because there were great high-paying jobs that are going to last a long time. Right. So what are some of your thoughts as an HR professional? What do we need to do?
I think definitely using our resources. I have never been in a community that has been so supportive of each other. We're all networking. Like I mentioned before, we partnered with Southwest Gas, Tucson Water, and we are in constant communication with them. We do events starting from early age, and I think the key to that is career awareness and what is out there for individuals and jobs within our
community. Getting kids to dream.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I might want to do that.
Career awareness is huge for us. In November, the first week of November, we're participating in the Southern Arizona Construction Career Days. It's a large event. Right now, we're forecasted to about 2,100 students are going to attend this.
That's awesome.
Isn't it amazing?
Like, really
it's
awesome.
Juniors,
yes,
and seniors in high school. And also, we bring in the JTED, the Pima Community College. This is a big event hosted at the Tucson Rodeo Grounds. We participate in this every year, and it's critical for us to kind of connect the dots for the students so they can understand what jobs are out there and what their future can look like. Even if college may not be the specific path for them, there's many other jobs out there. So I think career awareness at an early age is critical in helping us fill these position gaps.
It's so kind of sad, I guess that's the only word I can use, that we got on a track as a country that college education was the key. And it's not true, and it's not right, because lots of highly successful people failed miserably in traditional schools. So the exciting part of this is, how about a car mechanic? You think we're ever be run out of need for them? No, these are vital skills that now people, I mean, plumbers, they've got some of the most beautiful houses in the foothills.
Absolutely.
Because guess what? They're in demand. You're always going to need your toilets. Yes. And your sinks and your showers. And it's a very, very clearly defined skill set, and it counts on people showing up. Mm-hmm. And being respectful and making the problem go away. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, if I can live long enough to see the swing. So basic education is key. Things like exposing kids to dream. Mm-hmm. At an early age. Mm-hmm. I think that's another one that's critical. What do you think about, it seems to me, and this, I don't want to put you on the spot, and I never do, but it seems to me, and it's going to sound a little goofy, that I know lots of people that work at TEP, and I've gotten to know some more than others. There's a lot of really satisfied long-term people at TEP. Even Dan Hogan left happy. I was sad, but he stayed there for a really long time.
I think we were all sad.
I think everybody had to be sad that Hogan left. But do you think there are things that you do? I mean, I believe pace is the leader, pace of the team. Dave Hutchins is a good leader. What is it there? What's the magic pill? You have any, talk about put you on the spot, right?
That's okay.
You're
actually
smiling.
I like this question. I am on the spot, but this is an easy question for me. Like I mentioned before, I worked for the Department of Defense. Amazing company, great area to work for. TEP is different. We really invest in our employees. If you walk around any of our campuses, you'll see employees, and they're absolutely take pride in what they do. We take time to develop our employees professionally and personally. We make sure that they have what they need, and that creates an engaged workforce. Another thing that we do is we take a lot of how do I say that? We take a lot of initiative to see what our employees are interested in, and we use that throughout our community. You'll see the big TEP tents everywhere, and you'll see, you know, employees out there with the blue TEP shirts. That's because that's what they want to do. And TEP as a company invests in that, and that's it helps the engagement. And I think that's the fun part about working there. I like I mentioned before, I love going to work every day, and I think it's because there's a commitment from the company. You're not just an employee. You're a part of the company, and you're out there. So when you see those two EP tents, you take a lot of pride in that.
And you can't fake enthusiasm. I'm telling you right now, you can't. I can't fake goosebumps, and you can't. So the man who runs the Raptor Protection Program, to your point of matching someone's passion with his job, he was over the moon excited and proud to be a part of the Raptor Protection Program, to lead it. And TEP had to find that guy, and they had to put him in that job, and he loves it. And he's on it, and he's responsive, and he loves birds. So that's just an example. And I'm sure not everyone is a happy camper. You never have always, but I'll tell you what, whoever sends people to me and the people that I've gotten to know that are not on the show, there's a lot of satisfaction there. So we have covered it all. Is there anything that I didn't ask? I'd love to know, how do people find out more about the program? And they can always find anything they want to know on our website, because we put links to everything. Mm-hmm. But what's the best way for people to get more information?
So on the Military Career Skills Program, the best way to get information is working with the local bases, whatever bases are within your community.
It starts there, yeah, okay.
But one area to get absolutely involved in is with the Arizona Coalition for Military Families. They help navigate companies and organizations through the waters to help make this program successful. There's limitless support for our veterans, and there's also limitless resources. It's just finding the right ways and the right areas to get involved. But my first stop for anybody would be the Arizona Coalition for Military Families, and also the local military institution. Davis Mothan has it together. They are amazing, and it's a seamless process.
So we'll have to make sure that we tag and target and try to get people there to listen to the show. And you can probably help with spreading the word.
Absolutely.
With that coalition, because there was a lot of good content in the show, not just feel good. And when I'm feeling little bit down and the sky is falling, I'm going to go right to iHeartRadio and pick this show up. And I'm barely kidding. So here's my last comment, everybody. Mrs. Green's World is all about putting a spotlight on climate change in every way we can, because we believe it is the largest threat facing our world today. Making sure that all of the inhabitants living on this great planet of ours are cared for is part of that challenge that we face to ensure a healthy, sustainable, and socially just planet for everyone. From where I sit, taking care of our veterans, and a program that our guest Jolie Bracamonte shared with us is reflective of Tucson Electric Power Company's commitment to them and to making sure that our community is sustainable and socially just. So I have that to say about this show. And coming up, we've got some, I always say this, great shows. October 4th, my buddy Christina Palsgrove and the challenges about recycling since China stopped taking it. We're calling it recycling and the China effect, separating fact from fiction. On October 9th, Matt Helm, a show that I can't even describe, Freedom's Edge, a love story. And it's more than that, trust me. And October 10th, Gary and Rob Lauer, idea sharing with civility and respect. Imagine that. So, Jolie, I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. We both smiled a lot. And everybody, make it a great, green, intentionally lived day, because the world needs us all to do that. Thanks for being a part of Mrs. Green's World.